The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Danny Cannell, Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons, and Tom Fernelli. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Danny Cannell, that's Tom Fernelli, I'm Chip Patterson. College football playoff national championship game super preview. We are going into sort of the matchups to watch. We're going to talk about some of the storylines, big picture narratives, what this would mean, a win would mean for Ohio State, what a win means for Nick Saban and Alabama. And of course, because you always count on us to provide locks for you anytime there is college football going on, whether it is Mac locks in the middle of the week or whether it is a regular old Saturday when we're laying out the card, we are going to give you at least one lock a piece. Sources tell me that Tom Fernelli has three, and that's not even including props. So we've got a lot of different ways to break this game down. We've had one day, we're recording this Thursday morning. We've had one day of virtual availability. The next will be tomorrow. We had like a scare, right? Is this game going to happen? Do we have COVID issues at Ohio State? Is it going to get pushed back? I saw all of the key players who were scheduled to speak yesterday for Ohio State. They did speak. And maybe they were speaking from quarantining situations, but so far I have not seen too much to alert me to that. So I guess the beginning of the conversation is, are you expecting this game to be played on Monday? And are you expecting Ohio State to mostly be full strength, at least at some of the key positions for handicapping and trying to preview the game?
Expecting, yeah. Assuming, no. Because, I mean, it's the report that came out a couple days ago that's saying, you know, they could postpone it. Like, that's just the situation that we're in right now, because since there aren't uniform testing policies from the college football playoff and all the schools are following their own conference's guidelines. Like, I think Alabama's final test will be tomorrow, I think, because it's like, what, 72 hours within 72 hours. So Alabama will test, I think, tomorrow. And if they're all good tomorrow, then no matter what happens over the weekend, they're fine to play. But Ohio State's got to test up until Monday. So this is still a fluid situation with the Buckeyes where anything could change in the next few days. And this game could be postponed. And you mentioned, like, the key players were able to talk at the virtual press conference, but who do you consider the key players?
Haskell Garrett and Jonathan Cooper, because I thought Ohio State's defensive line was one of the reasons they beat Clemson. And I think that especially when we look at the interior with Haskell Garrett, who is the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, going up against a backup center for Alabama in Chris Owens with Landon Dickerson not there, I think that the defensive line for Ohio State against Alabama's offensive line, Joe Moore Award winners, best offensive line in the country, I think that's a huge, huge matchup in terms of answering the question, can Ohio State limit what Alabama does offensively? So those are the two and Sean Wade also a huge piece of that. It was all defensive players. Kerry Coombs, the defensive coordinator, he didn't have any updates. Sean Wade had some great conversation about looking forward to being matched up on Devonta Smith, classic alpha cornerback. I want the matchup, you know, that kind of thing. But those, I would say defensive line and Sean Wade were the ones that I was saying the key players for Ohio State in terms of, if all of a sudden they were like, Jonathan Cooper or Haskell Garrett or Sean Wade isn't available for today, I would say, yikes, okay.
How many offensive players did you see?
Well, that's later this afternoon.
That's what I'm saying. So we don't know that yet, and that kind of makes it weird, because when it comes to handicapping, like, for my locks and everything for this game, I'm working under what we know now. And based on what we know now, it's like the assumption that players, like key players, are playing, but we don't know. Like it, the initial report was like they didn't have enough for at a position group. Is that position group linebackers? Is that position group offensive line? Is that position group receiver? What was the position group that was affected and apparently or reportedly getting close to being, you know, in perilous shape? So that's the one thing. So it's like, because if half the offensive line is missing, okay, that worked against Michigan State and they were fine. I'm not sure that's going to work against Alabama. You know what I mean? So it's, there are a kind of variable and wild cards at play right now that are just making it more difficult to figure out.
I played golf yesterday and I was talking to a guy who runs a business. He runs events and he runs a big event. And he said, one of our buddies said, hey, are you going to have it? It's supposed to be in August. I think. So we're a long time away. And the guy's like, is it definite? And the guy goes, we don't use the term definite anymore. And I would say that about the championship game. Like, I think it's going to happen. All signs look like it's going to happen. But we've had games canceled on game day this year. And I get it's the championship and it would have, you know, you probably hear rumors and everyone's going to be all over this, but I don't know. I wouldn't use the term 100%. I wouldn't say definite. It appears like it's going to be. I don't know who the writer was. I think it was somebody that you guys can, maybe if you saw the tweet, you can confirm it. But somebody did say that the AL.com report that came out and it was like, hey, the game could be delayed. It said that there was a COVID issue at Ohio State and that every response to it just said, we're still playing the game. No one denied any COVID issue.
Oh, that was Dodd. That was the Dodd father.
Okay. Yeah. That was the Dodd father. I was making sure because I was going through his feed. I couldn't find it. But I thought that was a pretty, you know, wise observation. Is there still things that are going on? Is there, and you can do Zoom being isolated. What does that mean? Is this all, I really hope that they don't try to jam this thing through just to stay to the calendar and to say we did it on, you know, the day it was scheduled to do it. But could you imagine having to make that decision? And I would think if you asked Alabama players that they would say, yeah, like let's delay it a week so we can play everyone at their full strength. Even if it's Justin Fields who has a, you know, I'm not saying it's him, but if there was significant players at Ohio State, I would hope everybody, even Nick Saban's daughter, who maybe makes up the excuse for him and say, no, they're just using an excuse to get healthy. I would hope everyone would want to have everybody at their fullest. I don't want to see a championship game that has to have an asterisk next to it because you played Ohio State and half their defensive line or half their offensive line or whatever position group it could be was decimated because of COVID. Because I totally agree with you. It's one thing to have it against Michigan State, entirely different animal to have it against Alabama. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a couple players out just for probably for both teams. I just hope it's not something that massively impacts the game.
Yeah, because like that's like thinking of this just from a pure fan perspective, like everything that happened this year to get the season to go through and then to finish the season and then to get to the title game and then just have the title game being no matter who the teams are, one team at full strength versus another team at half strength would be like, this is what we did it all for this to decide, you know, because the playoff was the driving factor for a lot of these conferences to play the season.
Sure.
So to have the title game with like, you know, half a team missing would suck.
Okay. So this is, you know, a little early in the show for just a moment of total honesty, but like Danny, I really appreciate that you were able to give like the competitor, the player's perspective. Tom, you're hitting on the fan perspective. Let me tell you, I don't want this to get delayed because I'm ready for this thing to be done. I am so tired. This has been such a mentally exhausting season. Yeah. And it's been going on since July with this will they, won't they. The off season and the whole summer was exhausting. Like, let's get this Frankenstein season to the finish line, please. Again, I appreciate the competitor angle. I think you're right. I appreciate the fan angle. But for the purposes of conversation, me covering this sport, I don't care. And some of that probably I can say that with more humor, knowing that I believe Alabama is the best team in the country and that Alabama has been the best team in the country. And full strength Ohio State, I'm still going to pick to lose this game. Full strength Ohio State has a way better chance than if they're missing the kind of players that would put an asterisk on it. Absolutely. But it's almost like the same crushing inevitability that has surrounded so much of the Saban era. It's like, why are you going to delay it a week? Alabama, you're going to, it's almost, how about this? Oh, you're going to give Saban another week to prepare? Okay, good luck. Like, you're really increasing your chances there. But I am biased in that perspective. And I appreciate that there is wanting to see the best game possible between two of the most talented teams in the country, two of the best teams in the country. You're right. Ohio State is playing football this season because they believe they can win a national championship. And we're sitting here previewing Ohio State playing in a national championship. It would be a huge bummer for everyone who loves college football to not be able to see the best game possible. I'm just ready to end this season.
Listen, I'm there with you. I just want to end the season with an actual title game.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair. Okay, so
like, think about, I'm sorry to just keep this going on, but think about Sark. Like, think about that. Like, he wants to start forming a staff, start recruiting. Like, he's probably, he might be one of the only coaches that are like, hey, let's just play this thing.
Whoever you got, let's suit him up and go. We will be continuing to pay attention to this. We think, but like you said, Danny, there are no definites. Do y'all want to tackle some of the numbers here, or do y'all want to get into the matchups?
I'm good with either. Don't matter to me. Let's go.
Okay, well, then let's jump right in. So at William Hill right now, this number's up at 8. And, you know, we opened around 7.5. I saw it tick down to 7. It's up to 8. Which way are y'all leaning on this one? By the way, a little bit of news as we're recording. The Alabama availability is going on right now. Official Jalen Waddle is game time decision.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Zero surprise with that
announcement.
Did you think he was going to say, yeah, he's starting for us or he's not playing at all?
You weren't going to get either one of those. All right. So as this line is starting to move in Alabama's favor, I guess the first part of it is, are y'all on the side of Alabama? And if so, do you want to get this now? Like, how do we project this line move, and which way are y'all feeling about it?
This is all assuming that what we know now is going to be, you know, everybody's healthy, everybody's happy, everybody's available, blah, blah, blah. Because I think that this spread could get larger, and I'm already kind of on the Ohio State side to begin with. And I think that with the public action, obviously, because as a title game, there's always going to be more action than on a typical college football game, and public action tends to favor the favorite. And then you toss in the fact that the report of the COVID situation at Ohio State, I think that has definitely impacted the line. I think that's why we've seen it grow a half a point in the last day or two. And then I also think like the Jalen Waddle thing is probably impacting a line a little bit over, you know, overreaction to Jalen Waddle's availability in that game is causing people to think Alabama's got a better shot. And that's going to cause the line to grow. So as somebody who thinks is taking and locking up Ohio State in the points, I'm probably going to wait because I do think that this line could get bigger by the time the game starts on Monday. But just as far as like breaking this game down, Alabama is the best team in the country, has been all year from start to finish. It has been miles better than just about every single team it has played. But as we've talked about, there were two teams that gave it problems, and that is, those teams were Ole Miss and Florida. They both put up over 40 points on them. They made games of it. They made Alabama uncomfortable, although Alabama won both games. And Ohio State offensively is along the same lines as Florida and Ole Miss in that they have the receivers that can attack you vertically and they aren't afraid to do it. That's what Florida does. That's what Ole Miss did. And that is the one thing that has genuinely always been the Achilles heel of Alabama's defense in the Nick Saban era. If you have good enough receivers and a good enough quarterback, you can get them deep and you can get big plays. And I think that Ohio State with Justin Fields and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson have all that. And the difference between this Ohio State team and that Ole Miss and the Florida team especially is Ohio State's a much better team running the ball. Trey Sermon has come on in the last three games. He's like 630 yards in the last three games, although 330 of them were in the same game. But he has added another element that Florida didn't have. Ole Miss can run the ball, but they didn't really have, they're not, they don't run the ball often, but they can when they do. And Florida's just abandons it pretty much in the first quarter. So as soon as you get into a shootout with the Gators, Dan Mullen takes that part of the playbook and throws it away and says, all right, we're just going to throw it 50 times. Ohio State, I think, can, with Trey Sermon, they could do kind of like a hybrid of what Notre Dame tried to do last week, in that I think they can control the clock, or try to control the clock and keep it running with the ground game to keep the chains moving and keep the Alabama offense off the field, because that's really what it comes down to with Alabama. You have to outscore it. They're going to get at least 35 points. They're probably going to get 40. They might get 50. You can't just sit there and say, all right, we need to hold them to 20 something and then we could beat them. No, you have to go out there with the plan of saying we have to score 40 points at a minimum if we want to have any chance to win this game. And Ohio State can do that. And I think that they're going to try to limit the possessions Alabama has, but they also have the capability that when they need to, and that was the difference with Notre Dame, they were able to control the ball, but when they needed big plays and they needed to score, Notre Dame didn't have that capability. Ian Book and their receivers aren't the big play threats that could strike at Alabama's weakness. They had to put together long drives. Ohio State can do both. And because of that, I think that Ohio State has a much better shot of covering the spread, because I think the spread is a little bit too large. I would probably have it more in the 5-6 point range. So the larger it gets, the more attractive it becomes to me. That said, I still think Alabama's going to win the game more often than not, far more often than not, honestly. Like, if there's a blowout, it's going to be a blowout Alabama win. Ohio State is not blowing Alabama out. But I do think that Ohio State can win the game, and I do think a lot of the time they're going to keep it closer than a touchdown. So if I'm getting 8 points, that's where I'm going.
I'm really torn on this one. I would say the same thing I said coming into bowl season. Like, I hope you made all your money in the regular season already. Like, I feel like there are better edges. You know, you guys will hear me say, hey, I think there's better value elsewhere, where there's only one game. So we got to try to find the value in this game. I do agree with you, Tom. I think you kind of have to take Ohio State in this spot. I also try to look for an emotional overreaction, right? Like, hey, what are we just reacting to? And Ohio State just had their best game of the season. Are they going to be that team? Or is Justin Fields going to be that guy? Or is he going to be who he was through the six games previous? I don't know. Like, can he keep the momentum going? I don't think he plays that well against them, but does he have to? I don't think so. Trey Sermon's been awesome too. I think the overreaction line would have been if Ohio State was a 5 or 6 point underdog. Like, I think 7.5, 8 is a good line, because it's really tricky. A question I have for you, Tom, is you said you're going to wait, because I would tend to believe, like, hey, I think that's the smart move to wait. But if you wait and it's because there's a couple defensive linemen announced out for Ohio State, like, is it, well, how much is it going to move? And then at what point are you like, well, man, this is a bad side. Like, because then you're like, well, Alabama's just going to boat race them. Like, if they can't stop them at all, they're going to get off the field against them. So I think if you're going to take Ohio State, which I am, I think that's the right side to just jump in it now, unless you say you want to bail on it. Like, if the bad news comes out, I'll really try to stay away from it. Because I don't know if it's 9.5, if it's 10.5, you know, if it's still good value. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think if you like Ohio State, you just take them and kind of roll with it and hope that they put out a pretty good product and continue that the trend of late.
See, I think it'll depend too. Like, I feel like if there's bad news that comes out, whether it's defensive line, offensive line, receiver, whatever, if Ohio State is missing a few players, I think receiver will be the most important one. Like, I think if you find out Chris Olave is gone again, which I don't know, I mean, he missed the Northwestern game, and we saw what kind of impact that had on Ohio State's offense in that game. Or if Garrett Wilson's out, we know that's going to have a major impact on what they can do, because the receivers are what you need to, you know, keep up with Alabama. So if that happened, I think that I would probably jump, like, just stay away from it altogether. But if it's offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, whoever, I think that the natural reaction for the public, which is already heavily leaning Alabama's way to begin with, will just push that even further. And I think it would likely push it past further. Like, it'll probably be an overreaction. Like, we'll probably see more point movement than we probably should if we're critically breaking down how that kind of losses will impact the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we find out a couple, you know, guys are missing, that line jumps to 10 points. And unless it's the receivers, I don't think that's going to be, I think that would be kind of too much of an overreaction. So I would still be on Ohio State. So that's why I'm kind of, I'm going to wait a little bit and I'm going to follow how it goes. Obviously, if movement starts coming in and it starts creeping back towards that 7.5, 7 number, then yeah, I'm going to get in on it now, but I'm still going to wait. Cause I don't think that's going to be the case.
That's kind of where I like it. If as long as Ohio State is more than a touchdown dog, I'll take Ohio State. I think the overreaction is, and I think we do this in general in college football, is we say this team's unbeatable. And they are. Alabama's incredible. And we did it on this pod. We've done it several times. Like, man, no one can beat them. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State beat them. I wouldn't pick it. Like, if I was just going to take a money line play, I would take Alabama. But I think Ohio State can play with them. And I'm following the trend of underdogs in the national championship game, 5-1, except for last season. Since the college football playoff began, LSU was the first favorite to cover that game. And by the way, this is also the biggest spread in the game. So, I think Ohio State is the right side to be on as long as it's over a touchdown.
Oh, I love being on the wrong side. I'm wrong so much on here. Like, I think I had a pretty good bowl record, but I mean, that's pretty classic me, is like only when you wander into the wilderness am I going to end up on the right side of things more often than not. But nah, I'm on Alabama, and it's the, like, don't overthink this. Don't stand in the way of what's been a juggernaut all season. If I'm going to believe in March that Alabama is going to win the national championship and then continue to see more evidence to suggest that they are going to be able to do that, like, I don't want to be sweating Ohio State kicking in the back door like that, because I believe the way this game will play out is that Alabama will be in control. Because remember the SEC championship game. At any moment, did you think Florida was going to win?
No, not that I thought they would win, but I thought they would cover.
I mean, what was it, 17?
Yeah.
Well, I just.
And if they would have won, it would have felt like a miracle at the end.
Right. Like, I mean, the final.
Yeah, you're right.
The final score was 6 points. You know, like a 6-point game is not what that game felt like. It felt like Alabama beat Notre Dame by a bajillion, you know, but they only beat them by what, like 17 points?
17. Yep.
And so, you know, I'm absolutely entertaining the idea that it is going to be a game that I might have to be sweating, especially at 8. I liked it a lot better at 7. But I think that Alabama is going to be in control for most of the game, and that it's going to feel like Alabama is destined to win, but you just can't count Ohio State out just because of the way that they could come kicking that back door. Alabama all of a sudden maybe goes a little bit soft defensively and Justin Fields is able to find some things. I mean, you know, crossing routes for days, just being able to get out there and run mesh and just easy throws, good run after the catch from players like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. My lock is Alabama -7.5. I guess I've got to take it here at -8 and understand that it's probably the bad side. You guys are right. You got to play numbers. But I'm telling you, Alabama is better than Ohio State. Alabama's probably 10 to 14 points better than Ohio State. But Justin Fields and the potency of that offense, especially Trey Sermon, fresh legs Sermon, right? I mean, we got to start looking at the number of carries that he's had throughout the season, not only a limited season, but not the kind of reliance that he's had. And we mentioned on the podcast, it is reminding me of Ezekiel Elliott when Ohio State went to the title, just running wild Big Ten championship games, semifinals, and again in the national championship game. I got to be honest with the listeners here. I'm picking Alabama because I believe Alabama's 10 to 14 points better than Ohio State. But Ohio State absolutely has the offense to kick in that back door. I just don't think this is going to be a game where Ohio State covers because it's a back and forth, or where like Ohio State has the lead in the fourth quarter and then Alabama's the team that goes on the game-winning touchdown. I believe that Alabama will be holding serve through much of the second half.
Who do you think is better, Ohio State or Florida?
Ohio State. Quarterback play is so much. I mean, we're talking about paper airplanes against real mobility. Like,
I agree. Justin Fields. How many points did Florida lose to Alabama?
6. I know. Right.
That's where
I know.
And that's the thing. Like, you're saying you think Ohio State is, or Alabama's 10 to 14 points better than Ohio State. And I appreciate that because that's what I think most people believe. But if you look at Vegas power ratings, not nearly 10 to 14 points. Most Vegas power ratings have Alabama as about 5 points better than Ohio State.
I am taking, I'm taking not the best. It's almost like old school, like, you know, throw out your best score, throw out your worst score, you know, then you take something in the middle. Like, if I think that whatever our median or mean is for Ohio State's performance, the performance has not lived up to the power rating often. And,
right.
You know, that goes into the, can you continue? Can you maintain? Can you turn in that same performance? Or was the performance against Clemson an anomaly that includes not only your raw talent, but again, I allege months of preparation for the Clemson Tigers and a Brent Venables defense. And again, I believe a lot of motivation to prove that the wrong team won in the Fiesta Bowl within that Ohio State locker room. I think that there was a lot packed into that Clemson game, and it's going to be difficult to be able, I mean, you don't need to not get motivated to play for a national championship, but I do think that the uniqueness of the opponent with Clemson and this Ohio State, this budding Ohio State Clemson rivalry, definitely contributed to the strong performance.
That's the, like right now, is Ohio State Clemson a bigger rivalry than Ohio State Michigan?
Yes. They've played for more stakes. Like, the stakes have been higher and the games have been better. And now, finally, they've each got a win.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, because that's the, like, the sense I get from Ohio State fans I know and that I deal with is that they really hate Clemson more than they hate Michigan right now. Like, Michigan, they're just like, eh, whatever. You know, they're our rival, but we're not really worried about them in any way.
What's funny, if you go back to pre like 2014, you may have said, hey, is Alabama the bigger rival? Because those two fan bases talking about who owns college football, they wanted a piece of each other. You know, like, that was a pretty nasty one for teams that didn't have the long tradition, and now they're there. By the way, I hate this too, because this goes back to the lack of confidence. I am a believer in momentum, confidence, bringing in that game. But I will be so mad at myself if Ohio State rolls up and Justin Fields like goes back to the erratic, like throwing it over, three picks, like goes back to the quarterback we saw all year, and Chip was right, because that is the bigger body of work. That is the Ohio State. But I'm counting on the fact that that was COVID impacted, lack of practice, and all of those things. And the Trey Sermon momentum is just as real with those fresh legs. By the way, Nick Saban's record against the spread in college football playoff championship games, national championship games. Are you guys aware of what it is?
No, is it not good?
0-4. He was 3-0 against the spread in the BCS championship games, but in the playoff era championship games, 0-4.
That begs the question, is Saban just not good enough?
That's right. Hey, great coach. Wait, good coaches win. Great coaches cover. Yeah, not a goat. No way.
Coming up on the other side, is Nick Saban overrated? We'll dive into it more next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So what does this game, regardless of result, like what about the Ryan Day side of things? Has Ryan Day, with his short, small body of work and with what he's done so far with this Ohio State program, you know, does he need a win? Does he need a cover or a strong performance to be able to validate where he stands among his peers? Like, is of all the different ways that we are thinking about how the conversation may change or be altered by what happens on Monday night down in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, like, what about Ryan Day and the way that we look at him is potentially on the line or hanging in the balance?
I don't know. I think that the fact that Ryan Day has now gotten them to this position twice in 2 years. I mean, think about Lincoln Riley and think about how we view Lincoln Riley and what he did when he took over Oklahoma and getting them to the playoff like that in consecutive seasons. And of course, he won the Heismans as well with his quarterbacks. But Ryan Day's now been the head coach at Ohio State for two full seasons, and he has been to the playoff in both of them. The first one was a close loss to Clemson, which, you know, as we've gone over plenty of times, if you ask Ohio State fans, they'll tell you they were robbed and they deserved to win that game and they felt they were the better team. And then he's done something that Lincoln Riley hasn't done yet, and that is not only win a college football playoff game, but I mean, he handed it to Clemson last week. They beat him by 21 points. It's not like they squeaked by and pulled off some kind of miracle. They just beat them down after a slower start in the first quarter. They came out, took control of that game, and controlled it the rest of the night. So I think that as far as the opinion and of where he stands in the view, I think Ryan Day is pretty solidly up there right now with the top coaches in the game. It's just the one thing that we still have. And the one thing, like when we do our coach rankings every year, the reason I always have Ryan Day lower on mine compared to you guys is that I want to see it maintained because we're still only in year two. So there is still that question of, can he maintain what Urban Meyer was able to start and build there and keep it going? All signs point to the fact that he has, and he's going to continue doing so. And he might even take it, you know, to higher heights. It's just until this game won't decide it for me. A year or two from now will decide for me where Ryan Day stands amongst the rest of the college football coaches.
Agreed. You know, but I do think it would elevate him into that top five category, which maybe he's not an automatic now. Like if you just said, hey, quickly, give me your top five college coaches, he may not get in that with some people right now. You know, hey, he's only been there 2 years. Like you said, he's done it with Urban's players, whatever knock there would be against Ryan Day. Although I don't think those are fair. He's done exactly what he's wanted to do. He's, you know, only one loss in his tenure. But man, you don't get this opportunity very, you know, it seems like they do and they do. But ask Lincoln Riley about getting this opportunity. Like it, you know, he's had it and can't even get to this level, to the championship game. So you get this win and you knock off Nick Saban. Look at what it did for Dabo Swinney, propelled him into the upper, you know, three coaches in college football because he was able to slay that giant not only once, but twice. So I think you do that, it elevates him to a stratosphere where there won't be any second guessing. And even though the same things will remain true, like he'll still have to do it in year three and year four to prove it. But the perception of you, your legacy, all those things change dramatically.
And Nick Saban, I mean, the seventh national championship is just icing on the cake. A loss.
He's already got it. He's already got icing. He's already got side of ice cream. He's got icing, whatever you want. Like he's got, it's crazy. Like another one, I think it just makes him, I think he's at that point where it just makes him harder to catch and more unlikely that he ever gets caught. Like it's probably not gunned, but it's just adding.
When Nick Saban buys oatmeal cream pies, Chip, he actually gets them specially made from Little Debbie. They're like double stuffed Oreos. He's got that much filling in there. He's got everything he needs already.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I think he's trying to limit the oatmeal cream pies a little bit, you know, as he doesn't have the pickup basketball game anymore. You know, he's got the spring loaded hip that is in there now with the special action, but he can't really use it for the basketball quite like he used to. But that's, I'm, Yeah, I don't think that Nick Saban is on the line. I do think that a poor offensive performance has Alabama fans furious at Steve Sarkisian out the door. And I think a strong offensive performance has Texas fans just punch drunk on just just goo-goo and gaga. I mean, did you see Texas's like Twitter accounts taking credit for the Devonta Smith Heisman Trophy? I mean, this...
I didn't see the Texas. I saw the Johnny Manziel troll. That's what I saw.
Like, that's... I think that the offensive coordinator, I think Steve Sarkisian probably has more in terms of like narrative and what we talk about coming out of it, good or bad, than what we've got with Nick Saban. Speaking of the offense... The total is a preposterous 75 in this national championship game. I talked a lot about principal under one at right after it was set. I will not lock that up.
Howard,
are you going to lock it up?
Hell yes.
Principal under at 75.
I mean, it's partially principal, but it's also kind of supported. I mean, look, the over in Alabama's games this year is 7-5 and it's 4-2-1 in Ohio State's, but like, as far as this game is concerned in this matchup, if you just look, Alabama's played 12 games this year. Average Alabama game has featured 67.2 points per game. Only three of them went more than 75. There was the 52-24 win over A&M, 63-48 Ole Miss, and the 52-46 SEC championship game against Florida. This is the fourth time Alabama's played a game where the total's in the 70s. The two that went over were the Ole Miss and Florida games, and then there was the Arkansas game, which didn't even come close to going over because Arkansas didn't do its part. On the Ohio State side, the average points in their game has been 65.4. But what is alarming is that of the seven games that Ohio State's played, three have gone over a 75-point total. Mm. There was the Rutgers game, although that, if you go back and watch that game, I don't know if I'd legitimately count that, because that was... That was friendly. And then the 42-35 game over Indiana, and then last week against Clemson. It's just none of those games that Ohio State played in. The highest total in any Ohio State game was a nice 69 that we saw last week against Clemson. But if we then move to the playoff itself and the title game, this is the highest total we've ever had in a title game. The first was in 2014, the 72.5 points between Ohio State and Oregon. That game only finished with 62 points. And the average total for a playoff title game so far through the first six games has been 57.8 points, or 64.8. The average total going in was 57.8. They've scored an average of 64.8. And the only game of them to go over 75 was the second year of the playoff, that classic Alabama-Clemson game that Alabama won 45-40. So if you look at the history and you look at of this game and you just look at the way these two teams have played, yeah, it could go over 75, and it's probably going to get very close, and it's going to be very uncomfortable. But if you look at the history, and then you just kind of factor in the idea that with so much on the line, you might get a little more conservative. You might not be willing to take as many chances. And also, like I mentioned, when I was taking Ohio State in the points, I do think that Ohio State offensively has obviously the capability to score a bunch of points, but I also think they have the capability of controlling the clock. And I think Alabama at some point might want to consider doing that too. If Ohio State is having success against them, Ohio State might start leaning on Najee Harris and turning some clock itself. So I think that this total is a little too high. I think part of it is just the perception. I think part of it is what we saw last week and Vegas and the odd bookmakers wanting to set a line somewhere where they think the public will be evenly divided more than what they think the total should be for this game.
Chip?
Under. I'm convinced. What are you thinking? Are you going to buckle up and go over? I was not locking up and over, that's for sure.
So... we lost a general this week for the over army. Somebody's got to pick up his arms where he left off and continue the battle that rages on. I think in this game, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to take on the role of general of the over army. Tom, you gave some excellent stats on the national championship game, on the low scoring totals that are there. Are you aware, which I'm sure you are, of the record of the over in the national championship games since the college football playoff began? What is it?
It's like 5-1 to the over.
5-1. The yeah. over is 5-1. The only time was that or team when it was set in the 70s and came in at 62. I think like both of these defenses, you gave the examples that actually helped my point. Like Alabama's defense was really good against some very average quarterbacks, some very average offenses. When they played really good quarterbacks and really good offenses, they gave up a bunch of yardage and they gave up a bunch of points. Texas A&M, Florida, and Ole Miss. Ohio State, we've seen them like Indiana. They're good. Like they're a good football team, right? We've established that. But they put up a lot of points against Ohio State's defense. Ohio State's secondary is not very good. They're dead last in the Big Ten in pass defense. What does Alabama do really, really well? They throw the ball vertically down the field. Now, I think that Ohio State's defensive line, they're actually pretty good against the run, which I think will – like, yeah, I think that they would like to play it conservatively. They would like to establish that line of scrimmage with Najee Harris, run him a little bit more. But I think they might have to throw it, and they might have to take their chances down the field because that's what's working, which will lead to more points. So I'm going to take the over in this game. So we got a little fight going on. Championship game.
Championship game. So we've got just to review for all of our listeners out there, that would be
fight
for Danny and Tom on Ohio State against Chip on Alabama, and a
fight
Danny against Tom on the total. And I'm emotionally supporting you, Tom, but I'm spooked. I am totally spooked. All right, we've also got...
Can I add this? Because I had the over in the North Carolina-Notre Dame game, and I think it was Tom that gave it out. It went out like guns ablazes. Like it was right off the bat, bam, bam, bam. There was a bunch of scores, and the total got up to like 83. I think if that happens... text me and I'll get on the under with you at that point. Cause it's like, there's insanity that unfolds. Yeah. Usually the flow of the game slows down a little bit and then you try to get that. So if that happens, I might live bet that one.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's pretty smart. Like if you're scared of this total now and you're leaning under, but you're scared of taking it, Chip, we're talking directly to you.
I know.
Maybe you just wait and hope that like, yeah, both teams score on their opening possession.
And then
if both teams score, that thing is going to jump to like 90.
Yes. And that is preposterous. We're not going to see daggum 90 points. All right. So we also have half and quarter plays available. What do we think?
I really like Alabama in the first quarter.
They've been a great first punch team all season long.
Yeah, the line at William Hill for the first quarter is Alabama minus half a point. I like it. This is Alabama, like you said, has been very good in the first quarter. It ranks third nationally in points scored per game and 14th in points allowed per game and only 3.1. But more than anything, it's Ohio State. Like in the first quarter, they're a slower starting team. That's not to say that they're bad. It's just they really kind of get into gear, specifically on defense in the second quarter. Because in the first quarter, they ranked 10th nationally. They averaged 10.4 points per game. They ranked third nationally in the second quarter by scoring 14.9 points per game. It's on defense. In the second quarter, they allow 2.9 points. In the first quarter, they're allowing 5 points, which is 40th defensively. So I just look at that and I think that, okay, Ohio State is a team that kind of needs to settle in, see what you're doing, and then they make adjustments. So I think that, I mean, a lot of it, what sucks about these first quarter plays is the coin flip could have a huge impact on what's going to happen. But I do think that Alabama in the first quarter laying half a point, there's a very good chance that they're going to be leading the game after the first 15 minutes. So I like that more than either the total or the spread, honestly.
I might like that too. I like the way you're thinking. I think if you trust more in this spot, yeah, there we go. Lock it up. I do. I agree with everything you say. I think like, who do you trust more in this situation? And it shouldn't be a knock to Ryan Day or anybody on that staff, but this team is just, they're so used to being there. They're so dialed in. Sark is I think he'll have a great like scripted first 15 where he'll have some success. They'll be feeling things out. Mac Jones has been Mr. Consistent. We've seen Justin Fields a little bit inconsistent, even though he's coming off a great performance. early in that game, there were a couple throws against Clemson even. It was like, uh-oh, is he going to, you know, what are we going to get? And then all of a sudden he turned it on. So curious how the ribs might take him a while to get hit a couple times. How's he feeling? All those sorts of things. So I like the way you're leaning with Alabama in the half in the first quarter.
The Alabama in the half, Alabama in the first quarter, the first half total is 37.5. The first quarter total is 16.5. Anyone want to dance? That's sweaty. 16.5 a first yes. quarter. Like, I mean, I guess it could be sweaty either way, right? Because you could be looking up and it could be 7-3 with like 3 minutes left. And you're sitting there not only needing a score, but needing it to be a daggum touchdown.
Yeah, the way I mean, just based on trends, if you wanted to follow that strictly of how these teams have played, I would say first quarter under and then maybe take a second quarter over live once that comes up. But I think if we're going quarters and halves, my favorite play, like I said, is that Alabama minus half a point.
Alabama minus half a point for quarter.
The first quarter.
For the first quarter. And would you double down for the half at 4.5?
Depends who has the ball to start the second quarter, Chip.
So you would wait and you would just play that one live?
Yeah, I might play the second quarter live. Yeah, because again, Ohio State's defense really picks up in the second quarter. So like if it is like 14-7 Alabama after the first quarter and Ohio State has the ball as the quarter ends, then I'm probably going to jump on Ohio State because I'm guessing that Alabama will be favored in the second quarter as well.
You guys are both live betting studs. I forget about this sometimes.
I would not go nearly saying that far.
Okay, well, it's a good thing to note for maybe we include it as part of the locks pod where it's like, what's your live bet? Like, we could call it the live bet game plan or something like that, where it's like, if this happens, we're looking for this, and then we hit this. And that is stuff that I think our listeners, like, there are a bunch of listeners that, you know, when we talk with either on Twitter or, you know, friends that I know that also listen, always like just snagged it at this live. Like they're like the live betting community, I think would appreciate it. We could add it as something for 2021 for sure.
You know what we could do is we could make Coca tweet out our live bets from the Twitter account. Ooh. On like a Saturday. If one of us has something, we could just text Coca and be like, fire it out. We want UNC minus 7 in the third quarter.
Just snagged it. Yeah. No, then we just turn into the stock market. I got a 7.5. I got an 8.5.
Cause there are way too many people out there that just put out the live betting lines without telling which side they're going to be on. Like that drives me nuts. Like, well, what are you saying? Like, yeah, all right. It's that we know what it is. What are you going to do? So we actually could. The problem with it, sometimes it happens so fast and it moves so fast. Like you might get it at, I think even that North Carolina Notre Dame game, I think Tom gave it, I was like 83.5. And by the time I got it, it was down to 82 already. Like it moves fast.
Yeah. And different books are always like, yes. That's the thing too. Like when it comes to live betting, like, generally for pregame stuff, it's pretty uniform from book to book. Like you might find a half a point somewhere or you might find different juice, but live bets, you'll see lines that sometimes are 3 or 4 points apart.
Okay.
Can I give a prop parlay, whatever they are?
Yes.
Yeah, because we don't have the numbers yet. Just you already your edge.
I'm so bummed. I'm so bummed because I love, and this is one of the only times of the year you can do this with player props, which is probably a good thing for college football fans, knowing the insanity that goes on with the NFL and players just getting bashed on Twitter because they didn't have 10 catches for 150. I don't want that to happen to college kids. But since we do have it in this game, we will get it. I'm going to do a little running back parlay, a little over under for Najee Harris, total rushing yards. Whatever the number is, I will take the under. And for Trey Sermon, whatever his rushing yards, I'll take the over. So a little fade Najee by Sermon action there. Now, and this is a little dicey because it could come out and it's all, but I'll just say whatever the number is, I kind of am thinking, I mentioned earlier about Ohio State's run defense being pretty good. I think that's going to open up a lot of opportunities to throw the football for Alabama. And I think Trey Sermon, I think the perception is, oh, Alabama, you know, Nick Saban, you know, running against a brick wall. I don't think that's the case. I think Trey Sermon will be able to continue rushing. I'll be real interested to see, like, Tom, does the Edgewater have a guess? The Edgewater Emporium, what would you set some of these numbers at? Would you venture a guess or not enough research done yet?
I would bet Sermon's around 75-80 yards. I would bet Najee's probably
Yeah. Oh, I would say it's going to come out at like 110. If it's 75 or 85,
all right,
forget it. Just load up on Sermon over.
So Najee was 119 and a half against Notre Dame, and I took it on the over on CBS Sports HQ with the idea that Alabama was going to be in control and just run the ball a lot in the second half. That was the case, but they didn't run the ball effectively in the second half. They didn't do a great job of it. Najee Harris only finishes with 125. So my 119 cashed, but most of it was because of 53 or 56 yards on the hurdle, right? Like if you look, take out that Najee Harris hurdle and his yards per carry was not on pace to be able to get us over there. So while that was my thought going into the Notre Dame game was Najee Harris rushing yards over because of the way the game's going to play out, especially if you do think Ohio State's going to be able to score, then you almost would rather go Najee Harris receiving yards, right? With just like thinking that he's going to end up being screens. Such a check down, yep. Screens, any kind of third and long situation. And if Sermon is under 100, then I absolutely think you got to go over there.
So that's the thing though, because Kyren Williams, I think, was at 75, 76 last week. And I took the under on that one and that hit. And it was mostly because I can't remember what the exact stat was, but I'm pretty sure no running back has gone for over that against Alabama. Part of that is their run defense. And then part of that is teams can't really afford to run the ball too often, you know, throughout the entire game. So it's hard for running backs to amass yards against them. So.
Yeah. Cause Alabama's up at the end of the first quarter. That's like, yeah. Like all these things exactly. Work together.
That's why
yeah.
We're taking the point. But I would say another couple props just to keep in mind too. Again, we don't know what they are, but I will be looking at Devontae Smith's total receptions and yards. And I'm leaning towards the over. And also, if there's a prop that you can find that is like a touchdown of 40 yards or greater, go yes.
Yeah. If there's a Jalen Waddle prop, I would probably fade that too.
You think this is all just like.
I do. I think it's all just
false flag.
Right. Right. I do. I'd love to see him come back. I'd love to see it happen, but I'm not going to believe it till I see it.
Okay. All right. Final thoughts, narratives, X factors, anything lingering about the game that fans should keep in mind or have their eye on?
Hopefully they play Monday and hopefully everybody's available.
Yeah, right. Imagine having to do this next Friday. Same thing. Like, let's run it back.
Just re-release the show.
Yes.
We'll just add like just a maybe if we've got any conversations with a general manager of Vanderbilt football around, we could potentially release that as well if Vanderbilt wants to announce its full staff hires.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if the Vanderbilt general manager has any locks. If we get delayed, I'm going to make him come on here and give us a lock for the title game. That's my promise to the listener. He is Danny Cannell. You can follow him on Twitter at Danny Cannell. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Frenelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Hashtag Rip Barton.
He's not dead.
I know. That's what was funny to me about that comment when I was reading it. Forever a legend. Rest in peace, Barton.
3 It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.